Okay, what's good, y'all? I'm Dane Fresh. I'm flying solo on this one, special edition of the Way to Hear This podcast. I just wanted to get some NBA playoff predictions out there. I mean, we don't even need to call this 72 because this ain't really 72. This is just a special edition. I'm going to just be giving some playoff predictions, man. So, y'all tap in for this one. I'll get into the matchups and talk about it and stuff like that. So, let's go. So, I'm going to start out with the Eastern Conference. We'll work our way down this particular image that I have. So in the first round, 1-8 seed, you got the Bucks going up against the Miami Heat. I do feel like the Miami Heat can match up with the Bucks pretty well, but I just feel like the Bucks have way more talent. The Heat normally give Giannis some issues, but I just feel like this year the Heat just don't have enough talent to compete. I got this one going maybe 5 or 6 games. 6 games if the Heat, like, really find their stride, but I don't see it going 7 at all. The next matchup we got on here is the Cavs versus the Knicks. This is probably the most compelling series in the Eastern Conference. The Cavs and the Knicks are pretty evenly matched. I think the Knicks took 3 of the 4 games that they played this season. I know most people have the Knicks not having a shot because of how Julius Randle has played in the past. He had a horrible playoff series against the Hawks a couple years back. This is the first time the Cavs have been in the playoffs since LeBron left. So it's going to be real interesting, man. I think it's going to be real interesting. If you ask me, the best scorer in the series is Donovan Mitchell, and the Cavaliers have the best defense. But I do feel like the Knicks have a really scrappy team. So it's going to make it a crazy matchup. If you ask me, like, smart money says the Cavaliers get it done in maybe 6 games. But I do feel like this is a 7-game series. And fuck it, I'm going to go ahead and pick the Knicks. I got the Knicks in 7. The next series that's on this image, man, it's the Sixers versus the Nets. I feel like if the Sixers are serious, this should be a sweep. But I don't feel like they're serious. So I got this going 5 games, maybe 6 games. I'll pick 5. The issue is with the Nets is they have all of the perimeter defense you need to compete in the playoffs. The only problem is they don't have a legitimate center to guard Joel Embiid. It's just they have no one to match up with Joel Embiid. And my logic is, if you at least have somebody size-wise to offer some resistance, if you have defensive schemes that you want to throw at somebody, it's way easier to scheme up a defensive game plan when you have somebody that can offer resistance versus rotating or, like, you know, anything, scrambling out of whatever coverage you're in defensively, and now you have to worry about a smaller person rotating back to Joel Embiid to, like, try to stop him. It's just not a feasible game plan, in my opinion. So I got the Sixers in 5. I expect Harden to struggle because there is a lot of defenders on the Nets, but I do expect Joel Embiid to thrive. The only way I say that this even being competitive is if the Nets really blitz Joel hard and make him have an inefficient series and make everybody else beat them. But then you got people like Harden on the team, Maxey on the team, Tobias Harris on the team. I think they can get it done. So I'm going with the Sixers in 5. Okay, the next Eastern Conference matchup is the Boston Celtics versus the Atlanta Hawks. I'm pretty conflicted in this one. I'm a fan of Trae Young as a basketball player, and I'm a fan of Jason Tatum as a basketball player. So, you know, like, my sensibilities is telling me to root for the Hawks. You know, I want the Hawks to get it done just because they're the underdog and everybody counting them out. A lot of people calling this a sweep. I think this will be a competitive 6-game series because I think the Hawks, when Trae Young is operating at his peak form, he's always putting a great offense out there. He just is. I think the Hawks will score points. And I do think they can get 2 games in the series. The issue is, I just feel like the Boston Celtics are the more talented team. They're the more experienced team. And they're the better defensive team. So, in the moment of truth, I think the Celtics can get a stop on the Hawks better than the Hawks could get a stop on them. And I also think that the Celtics are just far more experienced, more battle tested, and being able to, you know, just get it done. Now, the matchup that I think is going to be interesting is I want to see how they defend the Trae Young pick and roll, because last year in the NBA Finals, they allowed Steph Curry to just walk into 3-point shots. Now, if the edict is to just allow Trae Young to shoot 3-pointers on drop coverage the entire series, that could get interesting, because you don't allow a dynamic score like quality look after quality look without them getting into some type of rhythm. If Trae Young can make shots in this series, if they're going to be available, that could be a thing that looms large. And then the opposite of that is the Atlanta Hawks, they do field properly spaced units, unlike the Golden State Warriors, who were playing with two negative floor spaces. So in the event that you do start to trap Trae can make plays, and there'll be open three-point shooters who can actually efficiently knock down three-point shots. And then there's a lob game as well. So I think that's going to be interesting. I want to see how the Boston Celtics attack Trae Young on the defensive end as well. He is undersized, and that should be the focal point of your offensive game plan, is to how do we isolate Trae Young? How do we get Trae Young on the backside of the defense where he's the low man that's going to have to help in like those situations where the team is in rotation? You want to put him in situations where he has to guard and offer resistance for scoring. And I just think that won't happen. Like, that won't happen. Away from that, like, offensively, Trae should eat. Defensively, he will get exploited. Away from that, you do have pretty, like, good matchups. I think Jaylen Brown and DeJounte Murray, that's an interesting matchup. I think DeAndre Hunter guarding Jason Tatum, granted, he won't, like, be as efficient offensively against Tatum, but I think that matchup is an interesting one as well. Bogdanović coming off the bench. You got, you know, they got Clint Capella, John Collins. They have one more player coming off the bench for Sadiq Bey is with Atlanta now. So, you know, I feel like they got some interesting pieces. It's just, I think the Boston Celtics are a little bit too deep for them in terms of experience and talent. You got Malcolm Brogdon coming off the bench, Marcus Smart, Al Horford, Robert Williams, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Derek White, who has a deep run finals experience, Grant Williams. You know, they just got a litany of guys that can step in and get it done. In any event that, you know, you need a Blake Griffin to get out there, he can as well. I just think that the Celtics have a little bit too much for them, but I do feel like this should be a way more interesting series than people are giving it credit for. A lot of people just got the Hawks getting blasted. So, you know, that's kind of how I feel about that one. Okay, we switching over to the Western Conference. I'm going to save the Golden State Warriors matchup for last because I'm probably going to have the most to say about that one. Starting out with the 1-8 matchup, you got the Denver Nuggets going against the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Timberwolves just clinched their spot by beating the Oklahoma City Thunder in a pretty resounding victory. They pretty much led wire to wire. It wasn't really in doubt at all. The Denver Nuggets have pretty much been the best Western Conference basketball team the entire year. They had some hiccups toward the end of the season, but I feel like a lot of teams have that happen since 16 with your record and winning all those games not mattering as much after the Golden State Warriors didn't win in 16 after breaking the record for, you know, breaking the record for the best record in NBA history. So a lot of teams, you know, you kind of get disillusioned with the regular season because those games don't mean as much anymore. It's more so about what's the result in the playoffs. With that being said, I'm going to be honest with y'all. I got this as a 6-game series. It could go 5 depending on how the 8 or 9 men in the Timberwolves rotation shows up. Because I'm going to be honest with you, the Timberwolves are very thin. With injuries to Jaden McDaniels and Naz Reid, they are very thin on the bench. I think they may play 7 or 8 guys. But if they could get to an effective 9 men in their rotation, I can see this going 6 games. And the reason being is, I like the way Kyle Anderson, Anthony Edwards, Michael Conley, and Torian Prince defend on the perimeter. And then you have Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns to offer resistance to Nikola Jokic. Now, Nikola Jokic is the best player in the series. The second best player, that's up for debate, I'd say. With all the accomplishments, I'd say the second best player is probably Rudy Gobert. With that being said, after that, if you want to say Karl Towns or Jamal Murray. Well, we've seen Jamal Murray in a playoff series before when he went up against the Utah Jazz and how he performed in that Denver playoff run. Karl Towns, I'd argue, is the better offensive talent out of the two. So that's interesting. And then you have Anthony Edwards, who's a wild card. I think he might be a little injured right now, so I don't know what his production would look like. Michael Porter Jr. is there. He doesn't miss open jump shots. And Nikola Jokic knows how to generate open jump shots for his team, so that'll be interesting. I just feel like the Nuggets have the better player, so they will get it done. But I do feel like the Timberwolves can offer some resistance defensively, and I do feel like they will be able to score on the Denver Nuggets because you do have Nikola Jokic in the middle of your defense, as your anchor. And there are some statistics that point to him allowing the best finishing at around the rim with him on the floor. And he's going to be in a ton of drop coverage. So if Michael Conley and Karl Anthony Towns and Torian Prince can spark it up from three, that'll be interesting as well. With that being said, yeah, I got the Nuggets winning the series. I'm picking six games. If it does go five, I suspect that it's because the lack of depth for the Timberwolves with the injuries that they suffered toward the later part of the season. The next series I have, just going down, the 4-5 matchup. You got the Phoenix Suns going up against the Los Angeles Clippers. Now, the Warriors avoided this matchup by getting the sixth seed. I feel like this is the most combustible first round matchup because you just don't expect these two teams to be playing each other in the first round. Paul George is injured. They're saying that he won't be back for the first round, but it is such an explosive, combustible series with Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers, with all the depth they have, even without Paul George, going against a team that traded away two of the core players that was a part of their championship run. They didn't win a championship, but getting to the finals with Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges and gaining Kevin Durant. So the Suns, they're not very deep at all, but they're high-end talent. Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, combined with DeAndre Ayton and Chris Paul, it's going to be really, really tough, right? Can the Clippers defend them well enough to where the depth will matter? Can the Suns get enough stops to where their offensive firepower will matter? You know, it's going to be interesting. I think Russell Westbrook will have a chip on his shoulder. There are some matchups that's interesting. Like will the Suns just leave Russell Westbrook open? How does the Clippers game plan for that? Kawhi Leonard versus Kevin Durant, a lot of people may say that cancels each other out. And then after that, Devin Booker, what's his matchup? I feel like the depth will play a part. My mind is saying that this is a 7-game series, and I don't know who wins the series. Now, whoever wins this series will be going up against the winner of the Denver Nuggets versus Timberwolves series. So you potentially, based on how I got it going, you potentially be looking at the Nuggets versus the Suns or the Nuggets versus the Clippers. Either way, I feel like that is the tougher side of the bracket to me, having to face, just from my vantage point, being a Warriors fan, having to face either the Suns or the Clippers and then going and playing the top-seeded Nuggets in the next round. That's tough, just to make it to the conference finals. I'm going to say that my mind is telling me that the Clippers will win because of depth, but I just don't want to bet against Kevin Durant. I just think the story is better for KD and the Suns to advance in the playoffs, and I kind of want to see where that goes as opposed to Kawhi advancing without Paul George. If Kawhi gets this done with no Paul George, that will say a lot about him as a basketball player, and people will speak to that concerning him. So I'm going to go Phoenix Suns in seven. The next series is the Memphis Grizzlies versus the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm going to be honest with you. The Lakers matchup against the Timberwolves in the play-in game, it gives me no confidence in the Lakers in this series. The Timberwolves were hampered with injury. They came in missing rotation players, and they still were able to, one, defend the Los Angeles Lakers and two score on the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, experience is a factor, and the Timberwolves just kind of collapse at the end of that game. So, you know, you give credit to the Lakers for being able to get it done. My logic is you don't give LeBron James six chances to, like, win the game. Eventually, he will come through and figure out a way to win the game. With that being said, this Grizzlies team is not the Minnesota Timberwolves. They will have Jaren Jackson, Ja Morant, Stephen Adams won't be there. Brandon Clark won't be there. But, you know, Ja Morant will be. Jaren Jackson will be. It's not like they're going to be playing without their defensive anchor in Rudy Gobert, you know? And I think that Desmond Bain is a player. I think that Tyus Jones is somebody that you got to deal with. I think that Ja Morant constantly getting rim pressure on the Lakers will be something that they have to deal with. And the Grizzlies are a great defensive team. It's not like they're slouches in terms of defense. Their perimeter defense is good. Their interior defense is good. They get out in transition. So I understand the people just going with the LeBron logic. It's like, oh, it's just LeBron. This AD, they'll get it done. It wouldn't surprise me if they did, because, you know, greatness is greatness, and those are two great players. But just based on how I'm looking at it, if I just ignore, like, who the reputation says somebody is and go by what I think the Grizzlies should win this in six games. I think they should. Now, if LeBron pulls it out, he's a great player, and it's like, damn, you were great again, man. But if he doesn't pull it out, it would be no smut on his reputation to me, because he's 38 now, you know. It's only for so long that you can get older in this league and just keep on contending and keep on overcoming. Like, eventually age wins out, you know. These guys are young, they're hungry, and they want to get it done. So I got the Grizzlies. I feel like they're the better defensive team. Offensively, I don't think they're that much better than the Lakers, but I do feel like they present challenges that similar challenges that the Timberwolves presented in terms of a stretch big. You got Ja Morant, who's going to be constant rim protection and shot creation for other people. Desmond Bane is a very efficient three-point shooter. They traded for Luke Kennard. He shot the three-pointer at damn near 50% since he got with them. So it's going to be a lot of different factors that, and Dylan Brooks does a good job on LeBron James, you know. So it's going to be a lot of different factors that I think will contribute to the Grizzlies winning this one. In terms of the Lakers, I don't think that outside of Dylan Brooks, the Grizzlies have a great matchup for LeBron James. Like, he's like the only one that really can match up with LeBron James. Anthony Davis, Jaren Jackson, that's a even matchup to me. But Jaren Jackson does have foul issues, so that's something to watch. D'Angelo Russell is a very inconsistent basketball player, so I don't know how he will perform. He performed similarly in the Timberwolves game to how he performed on the Timberwolves when they played against the Grizzlies. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does. Jared Vanderbilt is a defensive dynamo. I expect him to be impactful. I think Rui Hachimura would be impactful. I think Austin Reeves will have a good series. I expect all of these guys to play and play well. It's just, you know, I'm going with the Grizzlies in six. Okay, so the very last series that I have to predict is the Sacramento Kings versus the Golden State Warriors. And to be real with y'all, I got the Warriors in five. I got the Warriors in five. Now, I've been avoiding being cocky or, like, getting a big head or saying anything stupid about the Kings, because I feel like, to be honest with you, man, I don't like to put bad juju in the air. I don't. But if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, you know? If they win and it takes more games for them to win, cool. If they don't win the series, it is what it is. But I'm going to just be honest with y'all. I feel like the Warriors, this is a good matchup for the Warriors. Domantas Sabonis is a drop coverage big, and he's going against one of the greatest shooting teams in NBA history, arguably the greatest shooting team in NBA history. I understand that the Kings have the best offensive rating in NBA history, but that's a really skewed stat, because the offensive rating improves every year. If you look through the top 10 since 2020, the majority of the top 10 are teams after 2020, because the offensive rating just goes up year after year after year. So it's a skewed stat, you know. With that being said, I feel like the Warriors, with the reacquisition of Gary Payton II and Andrew Wiggins coming back to the lineup, I feel like we have the requisite bodies to guard you know, a De'Aaron Fox, you know, and I feel like we have the bigs to guard a Domantas Sabonis. And if anything, in a motion offense, you want a big man like Draymond who can play center field and shut down off ball actions and stuff like that. Like, I feel like that would be a really, really, really big deal. With that being said, I don't think that the Sacramento Kings have a matchup for Stephen Curry. I don't think they have anybody that can offer true resistance to Stephen Curry. Davion Mitchell is cool, but what he gives on the defensive end, he lacks on the offensive end. So you're in essence playing with a one-way player when you put him on the floor. And I still don't think he can truly offer the type of resistance you need him to against a wide off Stephen Curry. I just don't. I think Klay Thompson is a better player than he was last year. Now, Andrew Wiggins won't be starting going into the series, and he's going to have to ramp up as the series goes along. But I expect him to be able to contribute. I don't know, man. I've been looking at different footage and stuff like that, and I feel like this is a series that we can get. Now, it might turn into a long series depending on if you allow the Sacramento Kings to gain confidence. If you don't come out in game one and really, try to, establish dominance and say, yo, I understand that you had a good season, but we are a dynastic team and this is what dynastic teams do. You know, I can see this shit getting really, really crazy. I can see it getting crazy. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, I'll just be fair, you know, I'll offer the counter side. Because if we're going to be real, the way that the Warriors have performed this season, I can see them coming out and getting smacked in game one. Because they just have they've had these inconsistent efforts the entire season. But then they give you flashes of a great team. I've said the entire year, there's a great team inside of this team. They just got to come out with the right approach and with the right effort. And if they do that, they can win any game that they are in. We haven't seen that throughout the season consistently, which is why their road record is what it was. So I could see them coming out against smack just by not being on the same page defensively, being disconnected defensively, not being on a string defensively. Like, you can't play around with a team like the Kings because they do have the requisite pieces to get it done offensively, and they will outscore you. But yeah, I got the Warriors in five, probably six if I'm not being an asshole about it. I want to say five. I would never say sweep because I don't think that we would sweep them, I'm gonna be honest. But I got the Warriors in five, maybe six. Six if I'm being, non-biased, I'd say six. But I'm going to say five just because, you know, talk my shit a little bit. You know what I mean? That would mean that the Warriors would be matching up in the second round against the Memphis Grizzlies again. So they'd be playing the second round against the Memphis Grizzlies. That'd be interesting, you know. But, yeah, this concludes my NBA predictions for the 2023 playoffs. I just wanted to get this out there to have y'all with something to listen to for this week. We didn't record this week, but we will be back this week. The entire gang will be back this week. And we appreciate y'all for tapping in, man. We're going to come back next week and talk about everything. It's not going to be just sports, but we appreciate y'all for tapping in. And you can follow me at Dame Fresh on Twitter. Follow the podcast at Wait Till You Pod. Follow Ricky at, I don't really know what his Twitter page is. He be changing that shit. But don't follow Darius because he might shoot you. And we about this motherfucker. Peace.